The cries of Cyrus brought many others to the chase, and they followed after, but only the swiftest could keep up with the runners. Mablung was in the forefront of these, and he was troubled in mind, for though the taunting had seemed evil to him, malice that wakes in the morning is the mirth of Morgoth ere night. And it was held, moreover, a grievous thing to put any of the elven folk to shame, self-willed, without the matter being brought to judgment. None knew at that time that Turin had been assailed first by Cyrus, who would have slain him. "Hold, hold, Turin," he cried. "This is orc work in the woods. Orc work there was. This is only orc play," Turin called back. Before Mablung spoke, he had been on the point of releasing Cyrus, but now with a shout he sprang after him again, and Cyrus, despairing at last of aid and thinking his death close behind, ran wildly on until he came suddenly to a brink where a stream that fed Escalduin flowed in a deep cleft through high rocks, and it was wide for a deer leap. In his terror, Cyrus attempted the leap, but he failed of his footing on the far side, and fell back with a cry, and was broken on a great stone in the water. And so he ended his life in Doriath, and long would Mandos hold him. Turin looked down on his body lying in the stream, and he thought, "Unhappy fool. From here I would have let him walk back to Menegroth. Now he has laid a guilt upon me, undeserved." And he turned and looked darkly on Mablung and his companions, who now came up and stood near him on the brink. Then, after a silence, Mablung said gravely, "Alas, but come back now with us, Turin, for the king must judge these deeds." But Turin said, "If the king were just, he would judge me guiltless. But was not this one of his counsellors? Why should a just king choose a heart of malice for his friend? I abjure his law and his judgment." "Your words are too proud," said Mablung, though he pitied the young man. "Learn wisdom. You shall not turn runagate. I bid you return with me as a friend, and there are other witnesses. When the king learns the truth, you may hope for his pardon." But Turin was weary of the elven halls, and he feared lest he be held captive, and he said to Mablung, "I refuse your bidding. I will not seek King Thingol's pardon for nothing, and I will go now where his doom cannot find me. You have but two choices, to let me go free, or to slay me, if that would fit your law, for you are too few to take me alive." They saw by the fire in his eyes that this was true, and they let him pass. "One death is enough," said Mablung. "I did not will it, but I do not mourn it," said Turin. "May Mandos judge him justly, and if ever he return to the lands of the living, may he prove wiser. Farewell." "Fare free," said Mablung, "for that is your wish. To say well would be vain if you go in this way. A shadow is over you. When we meet again, may it be no darker." To that Turin made no answer, but left them, and went swiftly away, alone, none knew whither.